Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pinball. It's me, Vernon Kay, and it's him, the one and only Darren Fletcher. Darren, we've had a couple of amazing weeks. High-scoring games from potential playoff teams. I think we've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to open this podcast with the fact that we are looking forward to probably the highest-scoring, most competitive, most enthralling, captivating Super Bowl we're ever going to have in Miami come February, because the playoff teams, as it looks, as it stands at the moment, are something special. You've got the 49ers who score for fun. You've got the Saints who score for fun. You've got the electricity of Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. And the Patriots are still in the mix. Still in the mix. There's been a lot of negativity about the Patriots, Darren, but I think Big Bill and Brady will shine when it matters.
Well, I'll get to them in a minute, but I've got to echo what you said. We often get to this stage and it's open, but I think I can't remember in my I started watching the NFL in '84. I can't remember in my lifetime as an NFL fan as many teams of this quality at this stage of the season. I know in terms of parity, it should be a tight race. But when you think about Baltimore, 11-2, New England, 10-3, 49ers, 11-2, Packers, 10-3, Vikings, 9-4, Saints, 10-3, Chiefs, 9-4 and getting better. Even the Seahawks, 10-3. I mean, we've got a situation here where home field advantage could well be the key, because some need a fast track and some quite like grass and all that kind of thing. Seattle have got a big advantage at home and all that kind of thing. I think you'd be a brave person at this stage to try and say who's going to win a playoff round, who's going to win the Super Bowl, because we've got so many teams at this stage of a real standard. I mean, Baltimore beat San Francisco, and then San Francisco go on the road and beat the Saints. Seattle look really good in certain games, then they go and stink out the place against the Rams on Monday night. The Texans lose to Denver, having beaten New England. The Chiefs have had injuries and they're getting better. They've gone into Foxborough and won. Baltimore were given everything they could think about by Buffalo at the weekend. So they all look strong, but they all look vulnerable. I think the end of the regular season is going to be key, because home field advantage could play a big part. But I've got to say, mate, I look at New England and I just cannot see it. I mean, they were second best against Kansas City. They lost to Houston, blown away by Baltimore. I just don't see any way this year that they can overcome what we know the limitations are. The Americans are starting to catch up with what we said 2 weeks ago. You know, we said Brady cannot elevate the team anymore. You know, they've got to go and get an Antonio Brown because they've got no deep threat down the field. It means they can't run it as well. There's loads of contributing factors this year as to why New England won't be able to pull the rabbit out of the hat, the genie out of the bottle when it comes to January. It's just not going to work for them.
Yeah, but Darren, they've got Bill Belichick. They've got Tom Brady. Surely they're going to find a way to get out of this mire, this little dip, this glitch.
No, I don't think so, Vern. I think normally you'd say, well, look, is there a team in the NFC because they're the cream of the AFC? That's been the way it's been for a long, long time. But this chomping at the bit to do it, because I think it's going to prove the argument. Are they going to be able to go and beat Patrick Mahomes? they couldn't do anything against Deshaun Watson. People are saying, oh, they're gathering data. They'll be okay when they play again. No, they won't. They're not good enough this year. You know, let's get away from this blind faith in Belichick and Brady. Everything comes to an end. Vince Lombardi's Packers were crap at some stage. The 85 Bears only won one Super Bowl. This is a difficult league to maintain success. And what you cannot beat, you can beat any team in the world, but you cannot beat Father Time. And that's what Tom Brady, at the minute, is trying to do. He's got a weak arm. He's got no mobility. He's getting far too much pressure. He's got no threat down the field. He's not got big-bodied Gronk out there to make them easy to make it a receiver easy to find. He's just lacking the necessary weapons. I think if you put Brady in charge of the 49er offense, he's got half a chance because he's got a great running game and he's got so many receiving options and a really good line. I think with New England this year, he's just going to be way off. You tell me what they have within their armory to beat Baltimore or Kansas City in the playoffs. I'm happy to be convinced because I've been wrong in the past and I'll be wrong in the future.
Yeah, I totally get that. And if you look at the offense, we now know, and we mentioned it last fumble, that Edelman is Brady's go-to, and that's never, ever, ever the case before. He's always had Gronk.
I'm going to give you some I can't wait to know my numbers this week, because my numbers, I think, will kind of show you everything. And I don't want to dive in there and do it now, because I think when you hear them, you will go, well, I see what you mean. But what I'm saying is, I think when you play Baltimore and when you play Kansas City, the likelihood of you winning 17-14 is remote.
Mm.
I think if you're going to beat those teams, you've got to be able to put 24 points on the board at least.
Minimum.
Right. And I look at the other side, and I don't see any way that Brady and the offense can score that heavily against the Ravens D. They could potentially against Kansas City because they're not stopping too many people at the moment, although Brady struggled against them on Sunday again. Mm. But I just don't see how, if they play Buffalo in the playoffs, they can limit Josh Allen and the Bills' offense to 14 points. Brady gets 17 and through they go. But I don't see it. They could do the same with the Steelers, with Duck Hodges. I mean, they can slow that team down. But I think the other teams in the AFC, and you can forget the ones in the NFC, by the way, if they go anywhere near San Francisco or a team like that, they're getting smashed out of sight. But to get through the AFC, I just don't see how they can score enough points to go with them.
Yeah, I get that.
It's just too much pressure on the defense.
I get it, but I'm. It just makes me really nervous, Darren.
I know.
It makes me really nervous to say the Patriots are dead, because they've proven to us many times, that they've got what it takes inside the building, inside the facility, behind a desk with a pencil and a piece of paper.
Yeah. They
can scheme an offense and the defense to shut whoever down. And I think it wouldn't surprise me, Darren, if Bill Belichick is the guy to turn around to Harbour and the Ravens and say, right, watch this. Your quarterback is going to be absolutely nothing in this game. And he'll get to the podium at the end of it and he'll go, there you go. That's my footballing experience. All it took, a couple of games, it took a couple of weeks in the film room, and we managed a defense that could contain him. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to contain. And,
right.
And I said something a couple of weeks ago that was really controversial on our WhatsApp group. I said, I find Lamar Jackson boring, right? And I'll tell you why I said that.
I tell you what, let me stop you. I've got five numbers I'm going to give you this week. Right. I'm going to give you three of them now because we're talking about the Patriots and it's really appropriate. I think if I come back to it later, we're going to reignite the discussion again.
All right, go on.
So let me give you, because three of them are New England Patriots based.
Right.
I'm going to give you three bits of information and we can take it from there. Then we'll get on to this Lamar Jackson thing that you want to talk about, which I think we're going to disagree on. We don't often disagree, but I think we're going to disagree this week quite a bit. Okay, so number one, Tom Brady has the most underthrown passes in the NFL this season. Of the 32 starting quarterbacks, he's underthrown the ball more than anybody else. Number two, the New England Patriots are 0-3 this season against other AFC division leaders. And then you talk about the Patriots' defense. The Patriots' defense has given up 107 points in the last five games. They played Kansas City, Houston, Dallas, Baltimore, and Cleveland. Now, they gave up 61 points in their first eight games, and everybody anointed them the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. They gave up 61 points against Pittsburgh, Miami, the Jets twice, Buffalo, Washington, and the New York Giants. Now, when you say this defense is going to slow these teams down, statistically speaking, it's not, because it hasn't done this season. It's been really good against rubbish, and it's been middle of the road against good. So I think when you look at that, he's not throwing the ball down the field. They can't beat good teams. They can't stop good teams. I kind of think that plays into the argument of this ain't going to be their year.
Yeah, no, I get that. Those are good numbers, by the way. And, yeah. And did we say, I do believe, like, I think, Darren, you and I on this podcast, and I know, you know, you want to get bigged up if you big up yourself, because no one else is going to do it for you. But everything you've mentioned there, the early schedule of the New England Patriots, we mentioned that. We talked about that. We talked about the fact that the New England Patriots have a pretty much, they're going to be 8-8 no matter what, because they're going to win every game in their division, and then they always play a couple of really bad teams, which are a given. And we said it before. I said, look, the Patriots always shine through playoff time. And we called the Ravens early on.
Well, you did. I didn't believe you did. That's totally you. But you get all the credit for that.
Share and share alike. So I think let's just hold the reins. Let's not get in a gallop with the Patriots, because I think I'm desperate to see what Bill Belichick is going to come up with when he schemes those big teams, because those big teams are scoring huge amounts of points, massive amounts of points. And like you say, I don't think Brady and the offense at the moment have got what it takes to score 45 points plus. There's no way that they could have scored the Saints.
Because I don't think the defense is as good as everybody says. I think they've got an outstanding player in Stephon Gilmore, an outstanding player in Devin McCourty. I think the linebackers are okay. Van Noy is underrated. John Simon's had a good year. Defensive line is okay. But the numbers were trumped up by the fact they were playing against garbage. And I also think, too, when you look at the one that says he's got the most underthrown passes in the NFL this season, that kind of flies in the face of bringing back Antonio Brown, because you actually wonder whether he's still got the arm to use him effectively, don't you? That it's short and mid-range throws. So maybe Gronkowski would be a better returnee than Antonio Brown. And, of course, the deadline's passed now when Gronk can come back and play. So I just think they're going to have to go into the playoffs with what they've got. They're taking a pop gun into a machine gun fight and it won't work.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Right, get on, right, make your statement. Because when you told me before we started recording, I went, you what? Make your statement.
Right, so my thing is, what game was it that we were all watching, Darren?
49ers Ravens.
We were watching the 49ers Ravens, and we called it as a precursor to the Super Bowl.
We did.
We said, this is going to be the Super Bowl. It's going to be a huge shootout. Two very young quarterbacks who have got statements to make. I mean, let's not forget, Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted in to be Tom Brady's backup, and they got rid of him. Yeah. And now look at him reaping the rewards of being under Shanahan and his offense, because we knew that he was an amazing offensive coordinator once he left the Atlanta Falcons. It's happening. It's coming to fruition. So I'm watching it. I'm thinking, yeah, I get it. I get Lamar Jackson. I understand the numbers are great, and I understand he's putting on points. But for me, as an NFL fan, I don't find it entertaining.
Why?
What does he not do? I set my stall out in this debate early, and I thought, what does he not do? And I thought, well, I like a quarterback who drops back in the pocket and throws it down the field. He does that, yes.
Yeah, but doesn't 28 touchdowns then.
I know, but that's not always his first thought. Okay, and I'm going to contradict myself, because I like the way that he always checks down before he runs. He's calmed himself down. We've talked about that. But still, watching a quarterback run out the pocket, to me, I find quite boring. I apologise, NFL fans.
Did you find Michael Vick boring then?
Yeah, no, I was never a Vick fan. Yeah, never a Vick fan. And the one quarterback, I mentioned him earlier on, actually, who I did find entertaining, but as a kid, was Randall Cunningham. Because
statistically, this kid is way ahead of Randall Cunningham.
I know. But let me finish. Because with Randall Cunningham, you always got a sense that he scrambled because he had to. And I think the way that the Ravens have designed their offense, Lamar Jackson scrambles because they want him to. And that's the difference. That's the difference. Basically, I think Lamar Jackson is a pumped-up throwing running back, you know, because you've got that amazing, amazing artillery that he can give you. That's why he's going to be difficult to defend. That's why he's going to be difficult to shut down, because you just don't know what he's going to give you. However, saying that, I don't like my quarterbacks running out the pocket. I hate it. I really, really do.
Wow.
I know.
I can't get my head around it.
I think I'm just a traditionalist. You remember the quarterbacks that we grew up with? Marino, Montana, John Elway, all those guys. And some would say, yeah, but John Elway scrambled. Yeah, he did because he had to, because his offensive line wasn't actually the best. But I don't know. That's just me. I just kind of like my quarterbacks to stand in the pocket. Like, I love Aaron Rodgers. For me, at the moment, Aaron Rodgers is my favourite quarterback in the NFL.
Thing is, though, let me give you this. Okay, so he's thrown more touchdown passes this season than Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson.
That one surprises me.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
Amazing.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Unbelievable.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
He's thrown 28 touchdowns this year.
But my perception...
If I tell you that that's the most in the NFL by any quarterback, would you be surprised?
Shocked.
He's thrown more touchdown passes than any other quarterback in the league.
Yeah. So, isn't it weird? My perception of him.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think about it, because I would have said, I wouldn't have thought it was that. I would have thought that probably 10 quarterbacks would have thrown more TDs than him. I think what he does do, Vern, he has games where he throws three or four, four or five, and then the next time the game plan will be run-based. Mm. But I think, When you look at it, the comparison I would make in terms of exciting players in the NFL at the quarterback position, you'd say Rodgers for his brilliance, obviously.
Yeah.
You'd say Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, because they're a certain type of quarterback, aren't they? The play's never dead. They're good improvisers. You'd say Jameis Winston, because you don't know what the hell he's going to do from week to week. He can look like Joe Montana 1 week and, I don't know, somebody else called Joe the week after. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
Bubby Brisk.
Say that. I know, yeah. But when you then look at it, you go, well, hang on a minute. Statistically, in every category, he's way over Deshaun Watson. And I know you love Deshaun Watson. I mean, his completion percentage this season, 66.3. I mean, the only quarterback that betters that, or there are a couple, Garoppolo, 69.5, Russell Wilson, 66.8. Deshaun Watson, 67.7, along with Matt Ryan. So, in terms of efficiency, he's right up there. Surely, I look at it this way. I mean, I'm totally the opposite end of the spectrum. The fact that any play that they run can be absolutely anything means that he's box office for me.
Yeah.
But I also am aware, and this brings the added intrigue, that it could all end in one play for him. He's putting his body at risk so much that one of these games we're going to be sat there watching it and it's all going to end for him. He's a bad knee injury away from being Robert Griffin III, potentially. Yeah.
We've said it before. It's a dangerous way to play the game.
Dangerous way to play.
It's especially dangerous because if you put into the equation the removal of the reinvention of the form tackle in the NFL, you could no longer use your head, helmet to helmet, shoulder to helmet. You can't tackle high, basically.
No.
And for a quarterback that's scrambling, if you look at these DBs and the way that, well, they don't tackle, they just throw themselves in the spokes, to quote James Haskell. They just chuck their body in between the legs and then they hope that they bring you down. If he gets caught with a bad angle, if he gets caught on the kneecap, let's just say, ACL, MCL, the whole shebang could go in one foul swoop and it's game over. It's game over.
Yeah.
I think that the Ravens will have that in the back of their head saying, listen, let's just scheme our offense. Don't go when you've got it, when you think you can go. If you can't go, then just throw it out of bounds.
His quarterback rating this season, Vern, is 109.2, which is the best in the league by almost two whole points from Russell Wilson. He, in terms of numbers, is the best quarterback in the NFL. And you could make a serious case that at the moment he's the best player in the NFL. The only thing that we don't know about him is when it comes to playoff time, can he get it done? We're going to find that out this year because they're in the playoffs and they're going to play some big games. If he gets through this playoff run and Baltimore win a Super Bowl, I think you come away from Miami and say the best player in the National Football League now is Lamar Jackson. And I would think he would have separated himself by quite some distance to everybody else. Because the quarterback, as we know, is the most important position. It's what you build a franchise around. And for him to be as dominant as he's been, this, I can't remember too many seasons where a QB has been as dominant as this. I think back to the year that Peyton Manning threw 55 touchdowns with Denver, and that kind of blew me away. But that was, you know, everything falling into place. This is something else. This is different. But this is complete domination on the ground, in the air. It's mad.
I just think when he's up and running, I'm like, oh God, here we go again. Come on. It's mad when you analyze it statistically and numerically.
Does that not worry you as a fan, though? Because we said a couple of weeks ago, this is what it's getting like. You know, that we're in the situation now where the best athlete is the high school quarterback. So we're going to get more players like Lamar Jackson come into the NFL, players with the athleticism that he has. Does it not concern you that the league that you love becomes something now that bores you moving forward?
No.
But if there's more of him, you're saying you don't like that kind of QB. Where are we? Because everybody's going. It's a copycat league. How many times do you hear that on Sky and all the other various outlets? Copycat league. Everybody's going to look at this and go, well, it works for them.
I totally get it. But then, like I said, when we assessed the playoffs at the beginning, you've got two veteran stand-up quarterbacks who love standing in the pocket, Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and this new guard, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, some might say.
Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson.
Not necessarily Mayfield. Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is propping up the old school.
Yeah, Kyler.
He's big, tall, lean, and he loves looking downfield. So, yes, I think you're right. It is a copycat league. Yes, more of these quarterbacks will come in. But then you look at the influence that college football has on the NFL. Are these quarterbacks transferable? If you look at our man Baker Mayfield at the Cleveland Browns, I don't think he, being the star quarterback that he was in college, has come to fruition in the NFL.
But I would say with him, Vern, to kind of go away from it, this is where John Harbaugh is a genius. Because he's looked and gone, well, this is the best way for my team to win. I think if you look at Cleveland and Freddie Kitchens, they're asking Baker Mayfield to play in a conventional way. I think if they bite the bullet and they've got a quarterback like that, I mean, you look at Pete Carroll at Seattle. They run the ball as much as Baltimore. It's very rare that he takes Russell Wilson off the leash. They run the lead option.
There's all that talk about who runs the offense in Seattle. Who is the play caller? And I think that's what's important as well.
The point I'm trying to make, though, is if you have one like Lamar Jackson, you have to play that way.
Every Premier League manager says, you got to let the players just play. Just play. And I think that...
No, but you haven't in the NFL. You've got to build your entire roster around it.
Isn't what you're saying, let Lamar Jackson be Lamar Jackson? Don't let Lamar Jackson become a product of what we want him to be.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that. No, what I'm saying is that everything has to fit. It's the ultimate team sport. You know, you can have everything working on offense and the left guard's not doing his job and you can't win. So all 11 on offense in sync have to be right. So Baltimore have looked at it and they've drafted players to fit the way they're going to play.
Yeah.
So they picked up Mark Ingram in free agency because he's the kind of running back they want. They've then taken Gus Edwards in the draft because he's the kind of running back they want. They've got more mobile.
So basically what they've said is, look, Lamar Jackson, let's build our offense around him.
Let me finish the point.
Right.
The point I'm trying to make is Cleveland have got a normal NFL offense and Baker Mayfield behind it. So Baker Mayfield is playing in a different way in the NFL than he did at Oklahoma. Lamar Jackson is playing the same in Baltimore as he played in college. The Arizona Cardinals have been sensible. They've not only drafted Kyler Murray, they've also brought his college coach in as well. So over the course of the next year or two in the draft, you bet you that Cliff Kingsbury and the general manager there are going to look to go down a similar route to Baltimore, that they're going to say, right, who do we need on the roster to maximize Kyler Murray? And I think it's the sensible way of doing it. And I think the more quarterbacks come out of college with this kind of skill set and this kind of athleticism, NFL coaches and general managers have to be bright enough to say, we're going to rip up what we've done in the league for the last 100 years because there's now a new way to play because we have this individual. Maybe Randall Cunningham would have won a Super Bowl had the head coach in Philadelphia way back when drafted players to suit Randall Cunningham, as opposed to saying to him, you've got to conform. Use your athleticism when it all goes tits up. But in the meantime, you've got to try and play like Phil Simms and Joe Montana. The ones that are going to make this work are going to be the ones that go, we are now all in with this type of quarterback. We're going to build everything around him. Fast, mobile, offensive line. Multiple running backs. Lots of tight ends. Loads of blocking. Downfield receiving threats. There's a method to this. Mm. So I think if you do that, you've got a chance. If you don't, and you go half-cock, you get Baker Mayfield.
And also, Darren, so that people get an angle of where I'm coming from, I am defensively minded.
You are.
When it comes to the NFL. So when I see a defense getting torn up, when I see DBs downfield in their zone coverage and there are just huge gaps between them and the linebackers, and I see people like Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes just skirting through there, it pains me. Yeah. It absolutely pains me to see a defense getting torn to shreds by something that they can't scheme. You just can't defend it.
But you know they will. You know that all of these defensive meetings over the course of the close season, they're going to be watching film of Kyler yeah. Murray and Lamar Jackson, because they know there's more of this on the cards.
If you tie all the stuff that we've talked about so far and you draw the line 6 degrees of separation, everything we've talked about ties up. Everything is connected. And that last point that you just made comes down to whom? Bill Belichick.
And others.
And others.
But I tell you what, mate. Vern.
It's all interconnected.
Here's the next bit. So the quarterback has now changed in college. And the way NFL teams are going to draft, if you've got one, is going to change. Mm-hmm. So now the high schools into college, into the NFL, will need to provide different types of defensive players. Yeah. You're going to need more athletic linebackers. You're going to need athletic, big safeties. You're going to need...
It's already started that the linebacker is now taking the same physique as a strong safety. I think that's already started.
Right, but if you've then got a big back, you've got a massive disadvantage.
Yeah.
So you need a Brian Urlacher type. It's all right having a Deion Buchanan, but you need a Brian Urlacher. You need a Brian Urlacher played safety in college and then played middle linebacker and went to the Hall of Fame with the Bears. He could do both of it.
Yeah.
All of it. I look at it now. Those athletes are difficult to find because, as we said before, the best athlete on the team now in high school is the quarterback. He used to be safety or the linebacker.
I thought Mark Barron would have come into the league and made a bigger statement than he has.
I think it's speed with him, isn't it? He's all right in the box, but he's got no. That's why someone like Jamal Adams at the Jets is so valuable because
he can play in the right.
He can play in the box and he can hit, but he can cover too. I think it used to be, the big question was when Rob Gronkowski came onto the scene, was can you find a defensive back that's big enough to cover him or a linebacker that's fast enough to cover him? So the big conundrum for defensive coordinators was how you cope with a Gronkowski. Now, the colleges have now provided safeties and corners big enough to cover tight ends.
Yeah.
We saw it the other night. You know, the Patriots used... Stephon Gilmore on Travis Kelce, because Gilmore's a big corner. So they've dealt with that issue. So the next step now is, can you provide defensive players with the speed and size to deal with a Lamar Jackson offense? So I think we're going to see different players come out of college defensively as well. It's fascinating. Yeah. It's absolutely fascinating. I love it.
Another hook that we mentioned earlier on was the fact that we said that the league is in a great place with these young quarterbacks, with this new breed coming through. And it's just a revolving door, isn't it? It's a cycle that the NFL goes through. And I think this is one of the big ones. Because remember, it wasn't too long ago that people were saying, oh, the running back position, it's dead. The running backs, there's no need to pay them because they're 10 a penny in college. And now, this year, running backs are making headlines again.
Well, they are. And if you think about it, Vern, you've gone from needing what they call a feature three-down back and a backup. If you're going to play Baltimore's way, you need four or five on the roster.
Yeah,
so people are going to start drafting more of them.
Yeah.
You look at it. San Francisco, three or four starting caliber running backs. Baltimore have got three or four. I mean, some of the teams can't get hold of any because they're all on one roster. It's mad.
No, it's good.
Yeah. You sound quite excited about Lamar Jackson now. I'm delighted with that.
Yeah, listen, Darren, you haven't turned me. I still feel for those defenders who'll be like, oh,
yeah,
God, here we go. Yeah, and I know. And I know it, the comparisons are, well, it's just ridiculous. It's black and white. But when I played and you would see a quarterback running downfield, and it's those third and threes and third and fours which are the killer, because you think, oh, we've got them here. And then all of a sudden, oh, you've got to go again.
We're all kind of getting giddy about how good it can be offensively. Let's think back to Sunday. Sean McDermott, very bright defensive mind, head coach of Buffalo.
Mm.
Tremaine Edmonds, who they took, middle linebacker, tackling machine, fast and physical. They dealt with Baltimore. You know, yeah. They gave Baltimore everything they could think about. They weren't that far away from winning the game. And they are built defensively with athletic, mobile defensive linemen. Ed Oliver will be a hell of a player, the rookie. They've got players who can rush the passer but also seal off the edge. They've got very athletic linebackers that with great range. They're able to seal the field off to a large extent. And Lamar Jackson had to work really hard at the weekend to win. And I think if a lot of people have said, oh, if the Patriots play the Ravens again, the Patriots have got to find about 30 points to win.
Yeah.
If somebody said to me, if Sean McDermott plays the Ravens again, I would say, I think he can shut them down even more, because he nearly did it on Sunday. And they've got the athletic players on defense to maybe get the job done. I look at New England and think they've got less chance of doing that than Buffalo, because Buffalo's personnel match up quite well against Baltimore. We saw that, didn't we?
Yeah, it's bonkers. The future's bright. Just a quick one for you. The election is this week, general election. We're looking for a leader. We're looking for someone to guide the country, either in or out of Brexit, whatever your political stance is. We're not getting involved in that. Let's talk about leaders. Who do you think, in your opinion, is the head coach of the year? It's a tough one because...
I think the way it stands at the minute, it has to be John Harbaugh at Baltimore.
Yeah. Because for all the reasons that you've just mentioned.
Yeah, but I think in terms of doing a job that nobody thought was possible, I think Mike Tomlin at Pittsburgh has been nothing short of astonishing. He's lost Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, James Conner and Ben Roethlisberger. And as it stands at the minute, they're in the playoffs with Duck Hodges, who is famous for being the duck calling champion of America at the age of 13. Before that, Mason Rudolph, who, no idea what they saw it in. Backup running backs, fresh receivers, a defense that's got new people on it. But I think the way he's pulled that roster together as a coaching job, I think his coaching job has been nothing short of phenomenal, really. But you've got to be the dominant team with it. So I think I'd give it Harbaugh. But my favourite coaching job of the year is Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think Bruce Arians hasn't done too bad in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he's done okay. Yeah,
He's grasped. He's taken the elephant out of the room. Like, is he gonna drop or is he gonna play Jameis Winston? He's played him, and you know what? He's kind of got him under the cosh. And they've been all right. I think next couple of years, I think Tampa Bay could be a force again.
Yeah, I also think Cliff Kingsbury's done a decent job with Arizona too. I mean, they've won more games this year than they won before. He's put a new offense in, which is he probably still needs a few pieces on there. And I think we all kind of looked at him. I mean, all the guys in the US were saying, oh, he's a failure as a college coach. How's he going to work in the NFL? Well, I think he's answered a few critics. But not quite to put him in the stratosphere of the ones that we've just spoken about, but I think he's done well as well. I think if we're looking at it, I think there's one or two that fit into the Boris Johnson, Jeremy Corbyn role. I think you'd put Jason Garrett in there as Boris Johnson. I mean, he's had a nightmare, hasn't he? And I think you'd put Freddie Kitchens in as Corbyn. He's been a shambles too. So.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think Jerry Jones has got to make a decision. Is Jerry Jones the general manager and head coach? Or is he just going to step back and let people take that? I think Jerry Jones is too involved in that football team.
There's a general feeling that he's either going to go for Urban Meyer, who was at Ohio State, or the Oklahoma coach, Lincoln Riley. So he loves the college coach. He did it with Jimmy Johnson, did it with Barry Switzer. Lincoln Riley's the hot name. He's been the head coach that's produced Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. Two number one overall picks. Oklahoma have performed really well since he's been there. And Urban Meyer, we know, I mean, he's always been a dominant head coach with Ohio State. And the fact that Jerry Jones loves the college ranks, I'd be very surprised if it's not a college coach that's in charge of Dallas starting next season.
Yeah.
Really surprised.
All right, Darren, you've given us three of your numbers. Give us the last two, please.
Okay, I'll give them to you now. The first one is a Dallas Cowboys number, which this is, that, by the way, this is a podcast of perfect links. Everything links together. So we've just spoken about the Dallas Cowboys, and we've talked about how they've underachieved this year. Do you know there are 15 Pro Bowl players on the Dallas Cowboys roster, and they're 6-7?
Say that again, because that's dumbfounded me.
There are 15 Pro Bowlers on the Dallas roster, and they're 6-7.
Wow.
So you can't tell me that it's anything other than coaching, because they've got 15 Pro Bowl players. So they've got more talent on the roster than probably any team in the NFL, and they're 6-7.
That offense, just I can't get my head around that offense, because they drafted and drafted and drafted to build an offensive line, which it's up there. It's probably the, if not one of the best in the league, top three at least. They've got Zach.
Dak.
Dak and Zach.
Zeke.
We call them Zach and Dak in this house.
Thought they were your dogs.
Yeah. We call them Zach and Dak in this house. I just don't get it, how they can... They cannot beat teams in their division.
Vern, I've just written down here, Dallas, best line in the league. Wide receiver trio, Amari Cooper, Randall Cobb, Michael Gallup, equal to any wide receiver trio in the league.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott leads the NFL this season in passing yards. Zeke Elliott, probably the best running back in the league. I say again, 6-7. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out what's going on here.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the final one, bear in mind, again, another link. We're talking about quarterbacks and highly drafted quarterbacks. Do you know, this season, Vernon Kay and the Fumbleites out there, undrafted quarterbacks are 4-0 against number one overall picks this season. After Doug Hodges beat Kyler Murray on Sunday.
Aaron.
Yeah.
This is a beauty. Go on. Yeah.
Undrafted quarterbacks this season are 4-0 against number one overall picks, quarterbacks.
That is a classic. And one guy who's literally dying on his backside, Mitchell Trubisky at the Bears. I tried bigging him up at the beginning of the season, Darren, but it's just not happened.
I think he's doing well now.
I'd keep him. Yeah,
you keep him, but get a veteran in, a decent veteran. Get an alternative in. They've got Chase Daniel as like another coach on there, but he can't play. So I think go and get a veteran who can play if you've got to take him out. But I think there's been enough in the last couple of games to suggest he might just be finding it again.
I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm not saying get rid of him. But I'm saying his season hasn't been what we expected it to be this year.
No, you're right.
They drafted up. They could have had. Look at the quarterbacks they could have had. We mentioned it before. Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. They drafted up.
Duck Hodges.
Yeah, quackers. Absolutely quackers. It really is. It's just insane. But you know what? Don't get rid of him. Don't get rid of him. I think he will come in. He'll do well. He'll come good.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll tell you what, Darren, this week we've covered all bases. No stone has been unturned.
Well, we did literally rip up the script, didn't we? Because we weren't going to talk about half of this, but we're out of time now. I think the whole thing is fascinating. It's the dawn of a new era for the NFL. I think there's a real, I mean, you're a big one on 6 degrees of separation and all that. I think there's a real symmetry to this, that this year we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the National Football League at a time when the league might make its biggest change that we've seen in our lifetimes, from one style of offense to another, from one type of college player being successful in the league to another. I think it's almost the closing of one door and the opening of another. And I wonder what the NFL will look like in 15 years' time.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. But equally, it's going to be, if not more entertaining than it has been for the past 100 years. Because I think, like you say, it's a special time for the NFL. And we're lucky that the NFL has found a base in the UK.
Hey, what I would say, by the way, in 15 years' time, Lamar Jackson will be sat there with two metal knees, two metal hips, and probably a metal elbow. the way it's going.
And one Super Bowl trophy from this year's season.
Yeah, and a ring on. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's a classic. Anyway, Darren, just give us an update on your movements this week. Champions League, of course.
Yes, so I'll be off to Chelsea tonight. Chelsea-Lille. Big Frank needs a win to get through to the last 16. Then Munich tomorrow night with Jose and Tottenham to see whether they can banish the ghost of the 7-2 at the Tottenham Stadium on match day 2. And then Liverpool at the weekend. I tell you what, I was looking today. You know, I like the numbers. They're 17 games away from beating the Invincibles, Liverpool. 33 games unbeaten in the Premier League. Arsenal's record is 49. They would get to 50 on April the 18th away to Brighton. So just for football fans out there who like that kind of thing, 17 away from breaking Arsenal's 49-game unbeaten sequence. And the day, barring postponements, would be Brighton away on the 18th of April. I've been a busy boy this week.
Yeah. Hey, just quickly, we started the podcast early today, Tuesday, and you were doing prep for the Champions League. Just give us an insight into what you do as a commentator, as a lead commentator, to prep for these games.
Well, there's quite a few different layers to it. I mean, you prep them, every player. You've got to prep every player. So I have a database of all the players. So I always update everything to do with each individual that's going to be involved in the game. So the numbers that are relevant to the day, what they've kind of been doing this season, if there are any facts or stats or happenings in previous games between that player and the team they're going to be playing against. Then I've got to have a look at what Bayern Munich are doing. Then I've got to take a look at what Tottenham are doing. Then I've got to look at the Champions League as a whole. And then I've got to try and dig down and find out what the key elements are of the game that's about to take place.
Do you have conversations with your core comms like Macca, Steve McManaman?
No, not when it comes to my prep. I do all that on my own, right. And they would go away and do their bit.
When do you and him have a meeting and sit down, right, Steve, I'm going to cover this, I'm going to talk about that, I'm going to do that?
Bait and butty on Saturday morning. So I'll say this, we'll sit down, have a cup of tea and a bit of breakfast 2 or 3 hours before the game starts, and we'll have a look at, you know, what angles we think are the... What narrative we think is going to happen during the game, because you never can tell, because it's live sport, so things can change all the time. But you kind of look at what the narrative should be, what the narrative might be. And if the narrative changes, how's that going to affect what we're going to be talking about and how we're going to do it? So that there is an element of order to something that can be very unpredictable.
Yeah, I love it. And you know, I'm not just saying this, I've said it before, but I thoroughly enjoy you, because it makes me laugh, because when you always come out kind of, it's about 25th or 26th, 7th minute, you always drop an absolute bombshell of a statistic. Always. Right on cue. I'm like, here it comes. Boom.
Yeah.
There you go. And it makes me laugh because it just reminds me of the fumble, you see. There's the numbers. Right.
I think we all do the job differently, and I don't think I'm quite as statistics-based as some commentators.
It only takes that one conversation to start, Darren.
Exactly. I think that's the key. I think Clive Tilsley was the master at this. Clive used to use 2 or 3 facts during the course of 90 minutes, and you remember all three of them because they were relevant, they were strong, and they were infrequent. Yeah. I think if every time you speak, you're dropping a number out, you're going to lose people. And then the ones that really make a difference to the coverage, you miss because you're kind of zoned out. So try and limit it to 2 or 3. So what you say, I'm pleased about, because that's what I'm trying to do. But I think there is, it's such an, what you got to think about, football changes. So if you listen to a commentary from the past, John Motson, Barry Davies, Brian Moore, great commentators, brilliant. We didn't live in a statistics-driven world then.
No.
You think now the majority of people watching my game on a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Saturday, play FIFA all the time. FIFA. FIFA is solely driven by numbers. How fast is he? How tall is he? Well, so my lad, when he plays FIFA, he'll watch a game on the telly and he'll say, oh, he's brilliant. So Adama Traore at Wolves is everybody's favourite on FIFA because he runs like the bloody wind. Now, you watch him play for Wolves, two good games out of 10, although he's played a bit better this year. So you've got to think, as the audience changes, we get older, but so do they, but they're coming from a different world than us. So you've got to provide them with what they get when they digest their football. So it's sound bites because they watch things on the phone and the iPads these days. It's rare that people watch an entire game sometimes. It's FIFA. It's, you've got to adapt to the world and make sure that what you're saying ties in with what your audience are watching, whilst also being respectful of the people of more your age or older who aren't from that world. So you've got to try and get the balance right and please the majority.
So hang on, going back to the theme of this podcast, Darren, 6 degrees of separation, we've tied everything together. Your commentary must benefit from the fact that you're a huge fan of a statistically driven sport from the off, because the NFL has always been numbers-based.
It does, and what it's taught me is that you can prove anything with statistics, but there are certain aspects, statistically speaking, in American sport that do actually prove the narrative beyond doubt. So. Yeah. I try and look at how it works. We're in the Premier League, what are the numbers that we actually need? What actually tells me what's happening? So it does help. Yeah, it does help. It does help a lot.
Brilliant. Well, Darren, have a great week, my friend. Good
thank
luck with
you, mate.
Collect your air miles. That's my top tip. thank you for listening, as always. I hope we've given you, well, I know for a fact that we've both given you enough to mull over, chew over. And remember, you can always get involved via our Twitter page at The Fumble. This has been a Shooting Shark production. We will be back next week as we head towards the back end of the season and into the playoffs. But for now, have a good one. Darren, see you soon, pal.
Chipper.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.